You probably heard that this week our rector here at the cathedral, Father Austin Vetter, was named the next Bishop of Helena, Montana. So how that works, you know, the Pope names the bishop in Rome, and his delegate, the Apostolic Nuncio, gives a call and asks the person if they're, and I think the call was meant for me, but he got to the phone first. So, but it's okay because I'm hoping for a warmer diocese. And soon. What does it all mean that this priest was made a bishop, that our rector was made a bishop? Well, when God, in order to save the human race, became man, he took on our flesh and took on flesh at a specific time and a specific place, the incarnation. And in his providence, to spread this message of salvation, he gathered people around him, his disciples, and among those disciples, he chose a very specific group, 12. We're told in the gospel all the time, this is a specific group of 12 men whom he drew close to himself in order that he could send them out and spread the gospel all over the world. They are called, obviously, apostles. The word apostle literally means to be sent out. So that's who they are. They're sent out to go preach the gospel to the whole world. Right before Jesus ascends to the Father, he says to his apostles, go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. All nations. Never before had any sort of religious faith seen to evangelize the whole world, to spread its message throughout the whole world. But we know that there's one God, and so there's one true faith. And God then commissioned apostles to go spread that gospel all over the world. And even the first generation, the first 12, one went to India, St. Thomas, St. James probably went to Spain. They went all over the known world. They went to spread that message, taking that command of Jesus very literally. Which is the word Catholic means universal, that our faith is meant to be spread all over the world, that everyone is called to be Christian. But someone has to tell these people about it. And so from that time, people have been sent out to spread the gospel. And we have the account of that first generation of apostles in the book of the Acts of the Apostles. And in that very first chapter, something very important happens, a central tenet of our Catholic faith, that there was originally 12. And obviously, Judas betrayed Jesus, killed himself, and there he was no longer with that 12. But the apostles gathered together after Jesus had ascended to heaven and said, we need to choose a successor. We need someone to take Judas's place in order that we can spread the gospel. And they brought two people forward, they called on the Holy Spirit, and they chose Matthias, who was not one of the original 12, but was seen as equal to the 12, a successor to the apostles. And in our Catholic faith, that's one of the core beliefs that we have, that Jesus didn't just gather 12 people to himself to have more fun on the weekends. He gathered people to himself to spread the gospel to all times and all places. And that continues in the church from 33 AD to October 9th, 2019 in Bismarck, North Dakota. That mission started almost 2,000 years ago, is still going on, and will continue to go on until Jesus returns at the end of time. And we know we're here at the cathedral, which we're always blessed to have in our midst, one of those successors of the apostles. And obviously, just like the original 12, it doesn't mean that the person that's been chosen is so like automatically amazing. It's just the fact that Jesus chooses human, fallible instruments to spread his saving gospel throughout the whole world. And it's just kind of incredible that, you know, finally this has come to our, you know, kind of out-of-the-way winter wasteland of North Dakota. That Father Vetter is the first North Dakota-born son to be chosen as a successor of the apostles. That we can take pride in that, to say one of our own from Linton, you know? Anyone here from Linton? Okay, it's a small town, right? Some of you are probably descendants, the German-Russian horde. But from Linton, North Dakota, God has chosen someone through the Holy Spirit in the church to serve as his apostle. And that's very significant, that we can now give back to the church. It's not easy, you know, it's like tithing. We take what we have, and we have to give some back for the sake of another. And I think, you know, our church in Bismarck is doing very well. We have about 20 seminarians. We have a lot of young priests. We have full churches like this one, a very active faith life, good schools. And, you know, it's not the case everywhere in the world. It's not the case as much in Helena, that they don't have a lot of vocations. They have 5 seminarians to our 20. Their priests are aging. Their diocese needs help. And so it is beautiful that we can take something of what we know kind of works through the Holy Spirit, but that we know works, and we can now send that to a place that can, you know, learn from some of the things that we've learned here. And Father Vetter can do that there. Father Vetter was my pastor when I was from about sixth grade to 12th grade. We went on a Rome pilgrimage with him, and I dated a girl in high school, which was like, okay, dating a girl, priesthood. And unfortunately, he was friends with the family of the girl I was dating, so I'd go over to her house and he'd be there. That kind of ruined it, so here I am, I'm a priest. But when he came to St. Patrick's, they hadn't had a vocation in a while, and during his time there, about 9 years, there's three of us who have become priests. During his time, his first time at Cathedral, he was teaching at St. Mary's, and he produced a lot of vocations from there, including the Waltz brothers, so it's not perfect, but, you know, he tried. So, Father, this is all recorded. I hope they listen to it. So it is sad. I'm personally, and Father Vetter, I was with him when I was in seminary in Rome, and he was my first pastor, which is a big deal. Your first pastor is a new young priest. Spent a lot of time with him, asked him advice, and just hung out. And now he's being taken away, which is sad. And I assume that you're sharing some of those same emotions, where you feel the honor, you feel the excitement of a local boy being named bishop, but also kind of, you know, a cathedral, it's hard, because there's been a lot of faces in the past few years, and a lot, kind of a revolving door here. One of the things that we can learn from that is we come to church not because of our, you know, amazing personalities, which obviously, but we come to church to worship God and to receive Jesus in the Eucharist, to receive him in confession. We come for Jesus. You need Jesus. You don't need us. You need the ministry that Jesus has given us. And so Jesus has given Father Vetter a new ministry, and you still come to the cathedral every Sunday and receive Jesus from an unworthy minister. So it is hard. It's mixed emotions, obviously. But we do have that confidence in the Catholic faith that we are one holy Catholic and apostolic church here till the end of time. And God always sends us ministers. God always sends us apostles and priests to bring us Jesus, to bring us what we truly need, his body and blood, his forgiveness, and his saving power and baptism and the sacraments. And so we still have that. We're still fine. And it just calls us to a greater trust in the Holy Spirit, a greater trust in the church on earth, that she will always provide for us, that God will always provide for us and will always be there for us. I talked to Father Vetter on the phone the other day, and he was very adamant of asking me to tell you to pray for him. He needs prayers, and that's true. I remember when I was about to be ordained a priest, you kind of look out and you're like, this is going to be really hard. Like, I don't know if I'm up to this. But I remember like sitting in the chapel one day close to my ordination, just really feeling tangibly the power of people, knowing that people are praying for you and feeling the effects of your prayers. So it's very important that you do pray for him. And he asked that we'd all pray for him at this Mass, Our Father, Hail Mary, and Glory Be. And so I ask you to please kneel and join me now in praying for him. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.